Okay, we're continuing in the Rambam, Hilchos Mechira, Perek Chaf, Halacha Yud Dalet, Chapter 20, Law 14. We're talking about doubtful situations in cases where there's selling that's taken place. And the Rambam now gives us a golden rule in Halacha Yud Dalet that he follows through in the next two halachas to end this chapter. Yes, we did, if I'm not mistaken. If I'm not mistaken, we did it. We can double check. We did it.
Yeah.
We did it. That's okay. Better, to check than to skip. Kol mi shenolad hasafek, nolad hasafek bereshuso. Between the buyer and the seller, if the doubt in the situation was spawned while the item was in his possession. Okay, and we'll see in a second a case in a minute. But the item in question, it's in one of the two people's possession. So then, and obviously, he's the one that's got to find out the truth and prove his case. All of Lahavi Rai, he has to bring the proof. So let's have a case that will make it clear. Ketzad, for example, Hamachlif Poro Bachamor. If a person exchanges a cow for a donkey, okay? So the way that is done is with a chalipin, a kinyan chalipin. And what happens is if one of the two people involved will pull the other fellow's item, then both items have been sold simultaneously, even though the other item has not yet gone into the other person's domain. So here we have a case of a machlif para bachamor. There's an exchange of a cow. One guy owns a cow, one guy owns a donkey. Umashach bal hachamor. The guy who owns the donkey, he pulls esapora. He pulls the cow into his domain. Okay? So really, at that point that he pulls the cow in his domain, the complete transaction on both things has happened already. So therefore, the owner of the cow already owns the donkey, even though the donkey is still in the owner of the donkey's possession. Lo he speak bala para limshach zechamor, but the owner of the cow did not yet have time to bring it into his domain. It doesn't matter that he doesn't have to bring it into his domain. The sale has taken place. Okay, and now here's the problem: the owner of the cow, let's say the next day says, okay, I'm going to go over and pick up the donkey because the transaction's been done. You already came to my house and you picked up the cow and both transactions happened. And tomorrow I'll pick up the donkey, but I already own the donkey. Here's the problem. The next day he comes, he sees the donkey's dead. Okay, now the question is, when did the donkey die? Did the donkey die before the transaction took place or after the transaction took place? If it took place, did it happen before the owner of the donkey pulled the cow? So if it died before he pulled the cow, then it died in the owner of the donkey's possession. Now, the sale is either invalid or he owes the guy a donkey. If it happened after he pulled the cow, now the owner of the cow, the previous owner of the cow, is the owner of the donkey, and if the donkey died subsequent to that, it's his loss, and he's out of money. Well, it could be not clear who it is, or this one says that, and this one says that. There's no proof. There's no witnesses. So now, who is the one who has to bring the proof? Who's the onus of the proof on? And if not, he's the one who has to pay. So then we come back to our original rule. If the doubt was created in your domain, then you're the one who has to bring the proof. So in whose domain was the doubt created? In the owner of the donkey's domain. He was the owner of it, and it's still there. We just don't know if the transaction shifted the ownership at that point. So Amabala Chamor Lohavi Raya Shahya Chamora Kayom Bishas Meshicha Sapara. The onus is on the first owner of the donkey to bring a proof that the donkey was indeed alive at the time when he pulled the cow, and therefore the owner of the cow, if he brings the proof, is out of luck. But if he does not bring the proof, then the assumption is that the donkey died beforehand, and he'd have to either reimburse or the deal would be off. Okay, that's one example. And that's the idea. It was in the owner of the donkey's domain when the doubt came into being. However, if the donkey was already in the house of the owner of the cow, then the owner of the cow would have to bring the proof. Okay, so in other words, depending when the doubt came into being, that would be the question. Maybe let's say he delivered the donkey to the owner of the cow, but there was no kinyan made, and now he makes the kinyan on the cow. And then we don't know when it died. So in other words, where the doubt arose, that's the one who has to bring the proof for that. We'll see another example in the next halacha.
Maybe that was my question. Doesn't the guy who was going to receive the donkey have to pull it?
No, it's a kinyan chalipin. Remember, chalipin means only one of the two parties has to do it, and then both happen simultaneously. That's why you have the doubt. That's why you have to pick a case of chalipin to create the doubt. If you don't have a case of chalipin, you would know. That's the whole point. So now we have another type of these doubtful kinds of cases, and this could happen all the time. In case if somebody is selling an animal to another person, he shechts it and finds there's a treifus in the animal. Question is, who's responsible for this? So here's the case in Tesvav. This is a case where you could have Shelley a straight out kinyan, but there's no way, even with a straight out kinyan, you knew when the animal became treif, and this Rambam will explain what the doubt is. Machad hanimtza ba'ove beis hakosas. If you find a pin that is within the thick walls of the beis hakosas, that's one of the intestines, and if it's found there in a way, v'nokfa oso nekev, and it created a hole that's mefulash, that's through and through from both sides, which would render it treif. Okay, it doesn't really matter the specific case, but it was clearly a case where you'll find later on after animal shechted, and you're opening it up, and you're looking to say, this animal at this point in time has a problem of being treif. The question is, when did the animal become treif? So this is the rule. Im nimtzala koreit dam, if you find, when you open it up, there's some blood, drop of blood around there. Biadua shezu nitrafa kodem shchita. You know it was treif before the owner shechted it. Okay, that's for sure. If there's a drop of blood, then you know it was treif before it was shechted. Lefikach, therefore, im higlid piyamaka, let's say you have a scab. If a scab had formed over this place of the treifness, was there, biyadua, we know, she's a nutrifa shlosh yom kov shchita, it was treif already 3 days before the shchita. Okay, because it means it takes time for that scab to develop. But once you have the hole and the blood and then the scab, there's a development that takes place. If you just have the hole, then you don't know. But if you have the blood, it didn't happen before Shechita. If you have the scab, it happened 3 days before the Shechita. Okay. Lo higlid piyamaka. Now, here's the question. What if you don't have a scab over the wound? Hare hadover suffik. Now we're in doubt if it's somewhere between before the Shechita and within 3 days. What if the guy sold it to him 2 days before he shechted it? Okay. And now the guy shechted it, slaughtered it. Now, in whose domain is the question arising? The person who bought it. That's, they have a guy, the cattle salesman, and you have the butcher. So the cattle salesman sold it to him. The butcher had it for, let's say, 2 days, and then he shechted it. And you don't see the scab. So we know it wasn't a full 3 days, but it could have been a day and a half, could have been 2 days. So was it before or after he bought it? Well, where is the doubt? In whose domain is the doubt happening? Now it's in the purchaser's domain. The case before was in the seller's domain. The Rama's giving you two opposite cases. It's the purchaser's domain, it's the suffix. Valatabach. Now what? Now, so right now the butcher, he's out of luck. He's got a treif animal. It's worth much less than a kosher one. But it's a doubt. But the doubt arose in the butcher's domain. So therefore, valatabach lahavi raya shekodem lekichas nitra. Somehow, this butcher, if he wants to get reimbursed, he's going to have to prove that this animal was treif before it was purchased. Why? Sharei Bershusa no lada safek, because in his domain the doubt arose. V'imlo hevi raya, if he doesn't bring any proof. And now the whole point is, the guy says, I don't want to pay. I don't want to pay for an animal that was treif. You sold me a treif animal. But you have to prove it. You can't prove it. You shalim abdomim lamocher. Then he's got to pay full price to the seller if he can't prove it. So we had what first halacha was the doubt was in the seller's domain. The onus was on him to prove that the cow, the donkey died after he sold. And the second case is when the purchaser, the butcher, already owned it, and the doubt is now in his domain, and he has to prove. And if not, he has to pay the full amount, Rabbi. Okay, we're now on the 21st chapter of the Rambam. Now we're going to get into the topic of the concept of Dover Mesuyim and Dover She'ena Mesuyim, which will be explained in the very first few lines over here. Certain conditions must take place for a sale to be valid, and if this condition does not take place, basically the buyer has to have some idea of what he's buying. And if he's not even sure what he's buying, how can we even say it's a deal? Now, it doesn't have to be precise, and he could be willing for it to not be precise, but if he has no idea what he's buying, we cannot say it's a valid sale, and the Rambam will explain this in the next two or three halachas very clearly. Hamakne lechavero dover she'ena mesuyim. Someone sells to someone else, makes a kinyan with something that was called in Hebrew ena mesuyam, which means its measure or its number or its weight is not known. The English word would be specific. I don't know what the English
not
word.
Specific.
Oh, sorry. That's what I meant. Ena mesuyim, not specific. Okay, so I got the English perfect. So it's a non-specific item in terms of weight, measure, and number. So im hayamino yado. If the type of thing you're buying was known, if you know what you were buying, you just don't know how much. Let's say. Even though the measure, the weight, or the number was not specifically known, it is a good kinyan. We don't even know what kind of thing you're buying. It's not considered purchase. And Beis and Gimel will give examples and will explain why. So let's just wait till Gimel, and then we'll take questions.
No, I was going to say, it's okay. In other words, if you don't know what you're buying, there's no deal. But if you know what you're buying, but you don't know how much, there is a deal.
But there'll still be some rules. Yeah. So here's the examples. It's always the Rambam. The examples are always better than the rules. I mean, the rules are good too, but once you have the example, then the rule becomes clear. Ketzad, let's have examples. So let's say it says, Arema zo shel chitim ani mocher lekach bekafachach. I will sell you this pile of wheat right over here for X amount of dollars. But we don't know how much wheat is there. So the seller, he eyeballs it in. Well, to me, it looks like about 5 pounds of wheat, let's say. But we don't know. He didn't even say it. He just, here's the pile right there, and I'm going to sell you the pile for $5. Martev ze shel yain ani mocher lekach bekafachach. This wine cellar filled with jugs of wine, I will sell to for so much dollars, but we didn't sit down and count how many barrels of wine are there. Sak shel te'eni mani mocher lekach bekafachach, a sack of figs, I will sell to you for so much. They didn't weigh the figs. Again, in each case, the buyer is in his mind eyeballing what he thinks it looks like, and he's hearing the price, and he figures, I guess that price seems okay to him. So he knows what he's buying, he just doesn't have a precise amount of what he's buying. So that's what the Rambam now says. Afal pi she'ein midas harei miyadua. Even though, and these were three examples, even though the measure of the pile of wheat is not known. V'lo mishkal hata'enim, and not the weight of the figs. V'lo minyan hakankanim, and not the number of barrels. These are all not precisely known. Yadua. The sale is a good sale because the seller at least knows just about what he's buying. Even though, let's say he figured, well, to me it looks like it's 5 pounds of wheat. And it comes out, yes sir, it was 4.8 pounds of wheat. And when he came home, he weighed it, I guess it was 4.8 at the end. Or it's 5.2. Okay. Shahaya b'daitim, as they thought. The deal's a deal, but there's still one thing can't forget about. The yesh lahem hoinoya, but that good old ono can still exist lefi hashar shebashuk, based on what the market value is in the marketplace. In other words, if he finds out that he's really been ripped off, If, let's say, there's a pile of grain, and let's say the going rate for grain is $1 a pound, okay? And the guy, so I'm selling it for £5, $5. He figured it was £5. He got the going rate. It turns out it was £3. He was way off in his estimation. Well, £3 for $5, that's way more than overcharging a sixth. So now the rules of overcharging still come into play. That's the point. Now, the hit, as Kamosh Rav already explained. Now, of course, you could make conditions. If he says, I'm going to make a condition that Ono doesn't exist here, and they both agree to it, that's okay. The point that the Rambam is making, if you remember earlier, we did say, if let's say a guy says, I'm buying 5 pounds. And then if you don't get 5 pounds, deal's off. But here, the person is never really specified how much he's getting. So even though he, in his mind, thinks it looks around that amount, but since he didn't specify that amount, and he seemed to be happy with what he's getting, as long as you're giving him what he's giving, and there isn't overt ona'ah, there isn't ona'ah that comes out of it, then the deal stands. There was no condition, in other words, there was no conditions made that there's no ona'ah to this deal. Ona'ah still exists unless you're going to make conditions otherwise. But so what's the chiddush is? The chiddush is he's not getting the precise amount. He doesn't know exactly how much he's getting, but as long as it's within reason, then that's okay. Even though he thought he was getting a little bit better, that would be okay.
The way they say it in the English is about the laws of ona'ah. They're just talking about the price compared to the market price. It doesn't say the guy was really bad on his estimate. So you want to say
it's the price? One sec. Okay, maybe. Okay, so all right. Maybe that makes more sense.
He says it's going to be talked about in chapter 12.
Maybe I stand corrected here. One second. Let me look in Zion. Zion Ches. That was Perek Yigimel Halacha Beis, which we did already. That was. I even looked it up. One second. Okay. So if he cheated him on the price. That was where the guy gave him a handful of money.
The price is only dependent on the amount. You can't say compare
per pound. Let's say he chipped them by a cent.
Okay, so that one makes more sense.
But wait a second. Who's estimating?
Well, that would be the same.
Yeah.
So the purchaser thinks it's 10 pounds and it isn't. That's his problem.
Okay, I think Sam's
that's what I'm saying.
Interpretation is a little better. Yeah. It's a little better. So we'll say, I knew he was saying the laws will not work. So let's say he cheated him per. Here's the question. How do we know what the market. What was the deal? He says it's $5 for this.
He didn't say per pound.
Right?
So there's no market.
How do you get to ona'ah?
Exactly.
The Rambam is saying there is ona'ah over here.
Oh, so it has to go by the weight, too.
Well, how else would he be cheating him? Like, he says, I'm going to sell you for such and such. Unless you're learning, I'm going to sell you this pile at $5 a pound.
Yeah,
let's say like that. He says, I'm going to sell you this pile. But he's not saying how many pounds it is. In other words...
You can't sell you for $5 a pound if you don't know how many
pounds. Let's say like this. I'm going to sell it to you at $1 a pound and give me $5 for it. Well, then it sounds like he's saying it's 5 pounds. How else would you get on up?
That's the point.
In other words, he's not saying a real price per... The only thing we know about the market price is, let's say it's $1 a pound. Right? So now ona would only be if he's charging him more than $1.16 a pound. So how do you get to that? Yeah, I would assume. I assume the way I explained it.
No, you're right.
So the guy's accepting it doesn't have to be exactly what I thought it was, but he's not gonna accept being cheated through ona as opposed to a precise amount.
I get that, but maybe it's the English. He says here's a heap of wheat and you give me X dollars for it. The seller isn't representing how many pounds of wheat are there. If the purchaser thinks there's 10 and there's only 5, that's his overestimation, so therefore he thinks he overpaid. The seller's not representing how much he thinks there is.
So still,
you can't say there was all
the seller has to be.
But he did, but at the end of the day, he overcharged him over what the going rate was.
He didn't say per pound, Joe. He just said it's 10 pounds for this pile.
Yeah. $10 for the pot. I have no idea how much it is. It's $10.
Okay. So what we're saying is, in these cases, the only thing that the buyer is willing to forgo is that, you know, I could be a little bit off, and you may be overcharging me a little bit, and I'll be, you know, I will have missed out on that. But the rules of Ono still fit in. Truthfully, you know, I get they fit in.
How you can do it?
What?
I get they fit in. I just don't see how you can make them.
So, in other words, it only goes to a limit. The guy could only be off in his estimation to a certain amount.
You check the market. I know you. Yeah, you check the market price after, and you check the weight. And if it's more than 16%,
he's going to check the weight, then he'll just weigh it, and then he'll buy it by the pound in the first place.
Well, he didn't get around to it. He didn't get around. The guy didn't have a scale. He was in a rush. You know,
cases are always weird.
You know, people, a guy's in a rush. The guy says, I want that. Is there a scale? I don't have a scale. I need it. Well, it's $5. Okay, here's the $5. He goes home and he weighs it, and he really feels he finds he got really ripped off.
Well, he needed it right away. That's his problem.
But still, you can't overcharge. You can't overcharge. I think the chiddush is that a sale will be a sale even though you don't know the precise amount. That's the point. The price. Usually, you want to have the specific amount. We're saying that doesn't. It's not a deal breaker. If a guy comes back and says, "You know, I thought it was 5 pounds. It was 4.8. I'm not happy with this." Well, then too bad. You know, that's your problem. You didn't estimate properly. But if the guy says, "You cheated me," I'm not happy with that. That he can still do that. I hear what you're saying. You're saying, "Well, why did you take such a deal like that?" Because I guess the what do you call it? Default position is there can't be ona in a deal, period. Unless they make a condition as well. The guy say, "Listen, I'm doing this, but I want you to know there could be ona here. Are you willing to take the ona bite also?"
So
that could, if you don't say it, we assume that the laws of ona will still fit. I think that's what the Rambam is saying.
I'm just saying.
When you go back to 13:2, it says, "Look at 21."
No, well, there he just handed him a pile of money, right? Wasn't that the case?
Yeah.
Remember, the guy just had a fistful of money.
Yeah.
He says, "Here's a fistful of money. Let me buy the thing," and it's considered bidamim askara, right? That was just
a handful of coins.
And he says, "Sell me the cow with this, even though you acquire the clip in." 1 second. So there he says no ona for the lokeach, but there is for the seller.
That was,
okay. It was kind of it was a little bit of ona over there, but not total ona.
That's sort of my question now. Does it work the other way around? Like, if the guy gets a huge steal, then the vendor can say, "Wait, I didn't realize that I'm
ona goes both ways."
Yes, for both of them. That's so, what the commentary says. For both of them, goes both ways. Okay, now Gimel is a little bit different. Well, it's going to be the other case now. What if the guy says to his friend, "I'm selling you all the contents in the guy has not been in the house, okay? The buyer has not been in the house. I'm going to sell you all the contents in this house for $10,000. What's in there? I have no idea what's in there. I'm not disclosing it. $10,000 for everything that's in there. I have a box over here, a big storage chest. Whatever's in here, $50.
It's
right behind curtain number two, right?
So
you buy
public storage thing that was abandoned for
and you don't know what it is. But exactly. Or whatever's in this sack, and here's the look, listen to this. And the buyer says, "Okay. I agree.
Risk.
Yes. Umashach, and he pulls it. He makes a kinyan. Look what the Rambam says. Ein kan kinyan. There's not a kinyan over here. Why? Because shalo samcha daita shel halokech. Because even when the buyer says one thing, he doesn't mean it. He doesn't trust what's going on. There's an idea called smicha sadas. In English, I know reliable thought. I'm not exactly sure how the English translates smichas adas, but that's in other words.
Because it's a gamble. This is no more.
Yeah, I know that. That's what's coming up in a minute. But in other words, even though he's saying I'm willing to do it, but he really doesn't mean it because he's only willing to do it if he's going to get a good deal. If it's not a good deal, he certainly doesn't want it. Right? And that's what he says. Sharei eni yodeh mashieshbo. He doesn't know what's in the box. O teven, if there's wheat, o zar, there's gold. This is no different than gambling. This is a gamble. One second. Anything similar to that. So we know gambling. When you gamble, you know, those aren't proper kinyonim. And we know that if you gamble with somebody and the guy loses and pays you out, you're a ganef. It's not legal. Gambling in Torah is not legal. Because, in other words, no. There's two reasons why a gambler is puzzle for Adas. Yeah. Two reasons. One reason is he doesn't know anything productive for the world. Number two is he's a ganef. Why? Because let's say we're going to gamble. We're going to gamble whatever. I mean, we're not talking about a charity benefit. We're talking about serious money on the table here. You're putting 5,000, I'm putting 1,000. Whoever draws higher card wins. Right? Now, you're putting that money in because you think you're going to win. If not, if you know you would lose, would you put the money in? No. So now, even though I win and you agree to it, but you're not happy that you lost, and it's like I stole from you.
You put it in. You chose to put it in.
I understand, but you but there's not complete, what do you call it? You're an idiot, yes, but you didn't really want to make such a kinyon. And there is no such kinyon.
I've heard that before. I don't understand how the difference from the stock market. Okay, stock market, it's the same idea.
No, there's a rate. It does cost this much at this time, just like you buy anything, and then things later go up and down. Right now, this is what it's worth. Anybody will pay this amount. You have something that's real. Somebody wants it. But a bet, there's nothing real over there. There's nothing real over there. Here, you don't even know what you bought. It was a box. You don't even know what you bought. At least you have a piece of paper that says you have 50 shares of the penny stock. You bought something that's real. You have share of a company, of ownership. Here, you don't even know what you bought. Now, it's not a clever thing, but, and the guy's thinking, well, you know, I might get lucky on this. But that's like a straight-off gambling. It's no different. Ram is saying this is no different than rolling dice and gambling. And if you lose and I take your money, I'm not allowed to do that. It's Ganeva.
So based in, if two Jews were gambling, and one won $5,000 and the other guy refused to pay, would the Beis Din say he doesn't have
to? He's a ganef. On certain levels.
Was there a Kenyan?
Maybe. I don't know if they ever took these cases to Beis Din. I don't know. But it's not a kinyon. There's no kinyon. You can only get my money with a proper kinyon.
So he's off the hook.
It would seem so.
Because they not want to get involved.
It would seem so unless you write a note before and saying I'm willing. You have to be some kind of kinyon. You have to make some kind of kinyon. There's no kinyon. What kinyon did you give? The guy took my money. What did he pull something? I don't want you to pull. I don't want you to take it. So that's what the Rambam is saying. So Beis was a case that was Eina Mesuyam. It wasn't clarified the number, but Gimel is he doesn't even know what he's buying. And even though, you know, he's hoping he'll get lucky, but he really doesn't want to buy it if it doesn't have it. And therefore there is no real Kenyan. And the rabbis say that it's like no acquisition. Let's do one more. Dalet. V'chein ha-mocher, and this is an interesting application here. And based on what we said, just like we said with the pile of wheat, that even though you don't know the number, there still is a law of onah, right? We said there is onah. So let's take a look. Oh, and we said, and if you didn't, so let's take a look in Dalet. Let's say a guy buys wheat for 10 dinars. All right? He says, I want to buy 10 dinars worth of wheat, right? Velo pasa kama sa machalo. But he didn't say yet when he was selling it how many saw he sell him. So in other words, here, I'll pay you $10 a saw. There's a pile over there. Bring me the pile, okay? Then we're going to have to, and he says, and that's the deal. And here he pulls it. Okay, now what's left to do? We got to weigh it and find out how many you bought. Now we're going to tell you what the price is. Okay, now at the time of this kinyon, does he know how much he's got to pay? No, he just knows what? He's paying $10 a saw. He sells him for 10 dinarim chitim. They didn't tell him how many saw he sold him yet.
You don't know the price per saw.
He doesn't know the price per person, but he's paying 10 for everything.
Look,
but
he's starting
getting five.
So again, so he gave him 10 dinners, and he gave him a certain amount.
Yeah, what does 10 dinner get me? Is that staying?
So he has to give him no saying lo kashar shebashuk. He has to pay him the rate what the market value is b'shasa mechira at the time of the sale. So the guy gave him 10 dinars. Says I'm going to buy 10 dinars worth of wheat, okay? And here you've got the $10. Now give me the amount of wheat I'm supposed to get. So guess what? You've got to find out what the market rate is and give him based on the market rate. So again, that's sort of an example. He doesn't know how much he's buying.
He's buying 10 dinars worth at the market
rate. But he doesn't know how much he's buying, though. So that's a good sale. See, even though he doesn't know how much he's buying, and that's what Rambam says, as we said, it's the Dover Shein and Masuyim. How much are you buying? I don't know yet. What $10 will fetch me? I don't know what the going rate is. I don't know how many I'm going to get, but I want to get what the going rate is, $10 worth. Okay, so it's a deal. Yes, so the seller has to, you know, check the board. $2 a saw, whatever. Here's five saw. That's what he has to do. And and this is a deal at the time he gave him, they agreed to the deal. Whoever backs onto the deal after the money was given, but before the wheat was given, and he's not agreeable to what the market price is, either way, the purchaser can say, what? It's $2 a thing? Forget it. I'm backing out of this deal. Or the seller says, oh, it's only $2? It's the other way around. I thought I was going to get more money out of this. I'm backing out of the deal. If anybody backs out of the deal, and they won't give what the market value was when he gave the money. Now remember, things could maybe, he may not wait for a couple of days and then the price could change and someone might want to back out of that. But the fact is the deal's a deal, and if you back out, you get the infamous Makabel Mishapari, you get the curse for backing out because it's a legal deal, even though we don't know how much he purchased, but he knew what he wanted to purchase. And that is good enough.
Well,
and
different than saying,
but there was
a heap of grain.
Yeah. There was a market price. Yeah. So I don't know why they agree.
This is assumed.
What? But he doesn't know how much he bought. He doesn't know what the market price is. He doesn't know how much he bought, or for care, the guy doesn't know how much he sold, and he can't back out of it once the money
they bought got much worth at the market price. That's or he sold that much.
That's right, price. And he has to live up to that.
Was the first one was, or the second one was, here's this pile of grain. Give me $10.
And that's right. And then later he's going to find out, right, was it really 5 pounds that he thought it was, or wasn't 5 pounds? Either way, the laws will not fit. Okay. Shkoyach. Okay.